Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
Hello, welcome in. What a day it's been. Hogan John's with you. Late night edition. Who needs Hard Knocks right now? Turn your TVs off. Turn on Hogan John's.
Sorry for our delay. Call it a hold in. Hold out. Hold something.
Yes. It was not a hold in. It was just...
It was a hold on.
When I texted you earlier today and said that literally every minute of my day was booked till 10 p.m., that was not a lie. Even though I guess we're technically starting
it's 9:10 p.m.
I know.
That is a lie.
Well, it isn't. It isn't because the real loser in this situation is James not getting to be put to bed by me right now. But
give him 20 minutes.
I think he's fine. No, mom's taking care of it. It's all good. He got to go to Bears practice today. That was actually cool. My dad and my son came today. So
family day, family fest.
Family day, when we concocted the idea yesterday, certainly did not expect to get a 744 tweet from Ian Rappaport with a statement from the star linebacker who is actually holding in, saying that he's requesting a trade, and then have a surprise press conference from the general manager without any heads up at all from the Chicago Bears that it was happening. So, yeah, the day got complicated. It's all good. And we snuck in a Carmel football practice in there. No days off, Johnsy.
2 hours. Don't you just find it really interesting that he's negotiating through Ian Rappaport?
That part's like the most bizarre part of it at all.
Like, I can't wait to tell, like, whenever this deal signs, or heck, maybe even when he's traded, who knows? We'll talk about this a little bit. I would love to detail how their relationship.
Right? Like, why?
Yeah, why not Schefter? Why not us? Could have had him on the podcast. Could have read a statement here.
You know Schefter's stewing, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know it. Yes. Now, does Ian get his 3%, 5%, 10%, whatever it is? I don't even know these days.
Well, I think the going rate's 5, right?
Okay. Does he get it? I don't know.
He should.
I'm just saying.
He should.
What a bizarre thing this has turned into. Just, like, I was thinking about this earlier. John's like, okay, let's say that the Bears were like, all right, we'll trade you. Like, how does that work? Because usually then the agent gets involved to help facilitate the trade and negotiate the contracts with multiple different teams to figure out what's the best one.
Sometimes this stuff has already taken place in back channels, right? Like,
yeah,
the conversation's already being had. Text messages are being exchanged. We know agents travel around. You know, casual conversations turn into real conversations. Things happen, but he's representing himself, which I think is part of the problem. I really do.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, here's the deal. This is not going to be a terribly long podcast, but we wanted to make sure we got you something before the day was over. And we're glad we're here. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Johnsy's got his 5 thoughts up on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you go to get those most important thoughts. And then I have a newsletter coming out tomorrow morning that'll be in your inbox. So if you want to still sign up for that, if you're not signed up for that, go to allchgo.com, become a member. In that process, you can click on the little newsletter thing. That will be in your inbox tomorrow morning when you wake up. So there's still plenty of things in there. And beyond the Roquan stuff, one of my favorite things, John, you know I do this every year, is the first impressions of the rookie class, which maybe we'll get into on this podcast a little bit later in the week. But that is in tomorrow's Bears Things newsletter. All right. Let's start here. What was your, and you kind of hinted on it there, what was your initial reaction to just the statement from Roquan Smith, the trade request, and maybe even the way it was delivered?
I think, the delivery was, it's curious because he's going through a national reporter, but that's a different story. What stood out to me about his statement was the line about the McCaskey family. like calling out the McCaskey, saying he hasn't talked to the McCaskey family. He hasn't talked to specifically George McCaskey because he's the one who's involved in football operations. You don't like to hear that, but that's how the new structure works. Ryan Poles reports directly to George McCaskey. And I just thought it was odd, strange. You could talk to George McCaskey anytime you want.
I've talked to him multiple times since camp started. He's just riding around on a scooter all the time.
You're not lying. That's real.
He's right there. He's got his hat on.
The last day they were at Hallis Hall, that was open. There he was walking by him. He's walking by me in Fishbane, like right there. Like, hello. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Not hard to do. Like, we're joking a little bit.
Well, of course we are, but that part seemed like a cry for help. Like, George, please save this. You know, here's what I thought was the underrated moment of the entire day, though, Johns. Have you ever heard of a player requesting a trade, like formally putting in a request for a trade and then standing on the practice field a couple hours later?
Not just any practice field, but going to Soldier Field during Family Fest, which is quite a pain, to be honest with you. It is. And like participating in like calisthenics. He had the rope out there. He was doing sit-ups on the sideline.
Yeah.
With other injured players. Just seemed to be part of his routine. Like as if the statement was never even issued.
Right. I mean, if your feet are really dug in, isn't this the time where you finally stop showing up on a daily basis? Like you're asking to go to a different team.
Well, then it's not a holding. Now he's holding out. I don't know. Well, now he's potentially losing money then, right?
I guess, but now you put out a statement that said, let's see, I have it right here.
There's some harsh words in there.
That's what I mean. Like, this wasn't just a random statement like, hey, I formally requested a trade. I'll give you some sneak peek into the newsletter tomorrow morning. But Smith's statement, as I put in my newsletter, was pretty damn bold, claiming, quote, the new front office regime doesn't value me here. They've refused to negotiate in good faith. Johns, that would qualify as a strong charge coming directly from an agent in one of these negotiations, which sometimes you see. Sometimes you'll see like Drew Rosenhaus does an interview, or sometimes an agent puts out a statement when they're saying, hey, we've exhausted all options. My client needs a trade, you know, and then there'll be some charge, you know, you'll throw out some accusations here and there. This is coming straight from the player. I mean, that alone is crazy. So you think after all that, I didn't expect him to see on the field a couple hours later. That's guys, this is what I'm getting at. I'm like, okay, this is the point where it turns into a holdout. I want to be on a different team now.
Like your guy, Nick Moriano, took a picture of him on the sideline, literally talking to the director of, or the president of communications, Brandon Faber.
Side note. What kind of phone camera does that dude have?
Yeah,
he took that from the press box.
That's impressive. Different game your guy's playing, apparently.
Well, yeah, little side note on that phone, though. Takes great photos. Doesn't do much else besides that. Green bubble phone. Green bubbles are the worst. Oh. And then...
I don't know what that is.
You know, the text bubbles when they're green.
Oh, yeah.
They screw up all your group chats. It's terrible.
Yeah. No, I don't even include them in group text.
And then we had like a conference call yesterday, and apparently you can only hear one of the five people. Like, okay, the great you have a camera. You don't have a phone. It's a camera that tries to be a phone.
Yes, go get an iPhone.
But sweet photo of Roquan Smith from the press box.
Yes. To go back to the George McCaskey comment. Yes, we were joking around a little bit about George literally riding a scooter around camp. That's happening, but he's talking to fans. He strikes me as just very accessible. That applies to everybody on campus, players included, coaches included. You know he's talking to Ryan Poles. That's who Ryan Poles reports to. So, of course, he's up to date on everything that's going on with Roquan Smith. So if he wants to talk to George McCaskey, I'm sorry. I think George McCaskey will tell him things he doesn't want to hear. And again, that's part of the problem. I think since Roquan Smith is in charge of his own negotiations, he's probably hearing things he doesn't want to hear that players typically don't hear. Typically, it's the agents that get this message, They water it down and they bring it to their players. Yes, there's more some agents more honest than others, but you get what I'm getting at, right? Like, he's probably hearing things from the Bears that he doesn't agree with, and there's some emotions involved. I mean, Ryan Poles hinted at that today. I mean, there's definitely some emotions involved now.
Yeah, I think, and so I guess that's the other side of this. Ryan Poles' decision to have a press conference and address it directly. I have a lot of thoughts on this, Johns. I think it's significant for many different reasons, but what was your initial reaction?
Say that again.
Just the Ryan Poles deciding to have a press conference and address this.
He should. Yeah. I like that. And it did remind me, I think you put this out on Twitter. Like, Ryan Pace did the same thing eventually with the Kevin White fiasco. Like, eventually, as a new young GM, enough was enough. He had to step in front of the cameras and answer for what was going on with his first pick of his tenure. Then he disappeared a bit. I hope this is a sign of things to come from Ryan Poles. Report goes out. He gets roasted by a star linebacker in a statement released to the NFL Network, the league's own network. It was a good sign that he came out and, I don't want to say played a little defense, but when you talk about using words like record-setting, that they had a record-setting offer or parts of their offer were record-setting, that's them coming to... That's more than defense. It's, you know, we can negotiate publicly too if you want, Roquan Smith. We could play this game if you want.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a few things here. I mean, like, first of all, as it pertains to the previous regime, like, even when Ryan Pace did that, that was his first training camp. Very similar situation, actually, with just like sort of a different controversy because it wasn't contract related. It was his first round pick that was dealing with an injury that, quite frankly, the team boggled publicly for too long. And it was almost like a necessity.
John Fox bungled that publicly too long.
Yes, right.
But purposely it got to the point. It, yes.
But that, I think, was the first example of, hey, you don't have to leave everything to the head coach to address. You're the GM. You have the ability to address things too from time to time. Doesn't have to be every day, but just as things are warranted. And even in that case, it was too late. Like, he waited until there was a setback and Pace had actually come out and be like, yeah, probably not going to play all year. Like, that was a mess. And so while it's an example of the GM coming forward and addressing a controversial subject, it turned out to be like basically the only time he really did that. There were a couple smaller examples here and there, but there weren't like big press conferences. And I just thought that what Poles did today was smart for a few different reasons. One is, as you already hinted at, he flipped the narrative pretty quickly. Like, Roquan Smith stole the narrative this morning and Poles took it right back. Okay, so right there, that was a good move. And then second, I think Poles got a lot of credit, and deservedly so, in coming off like a GM who kind of knows what he's doing after that press conference, which was a stark contrast from about 8 o'clock this morning, the way people were talking about him. So I think right there, it just goes to show you that he's got a sense for, hey, I can do business, but when the time is right, I can also deliver a message to the fans and be transparent when it is warranted. And I think that is refreshing.
He delivered a message to Roquan Smith, too. Can we not lose sight of this?
Sure.
Well, speaking of losing sight, this is what he actually said. And I quote from Ryan Poles today. We can't lose sight that this isn't about one player. My job is to build a roster that's going to sustain success for a long period of time. And at the end of the day, we have to do what's best for the Chicago Bears. That's not as harsh as the words that Roquan Smith used in his statement, but that's a pretty strong statement right there from Ryan Poles. I think it is. You disagree?
I don't disagree. I think it's also I think what was so well calculated from, and it was pretty much all in his opening statement. He took like four questions at the end, but even that part was from the opening statement. It was smart of him to be like, "Hey, I feel like the need to address this." Okay. Then he starts by showering Roquan Smith with a bunch of praise, which was another good savvy move. And then he flipped into some transparency about his honest thoughts about how disappointing he is that they're even in this situation. And then he got to what you're talking about, which was more of the front office's philosophy, which before he said that, he talked about how as an organization, they believe in rewarding homegrown talent, which I think is an important thing here that the rest of the locker room does pay attention to. And I do think that part of this equation for Ryan Poles, from that standpoint, is to not lose any goodwill with the players if he's in a situation where Roquan Smith actually starting for a different team week one. But to still lay it out and get to that point, which is good, smart business, and remind everyone that, hey, this isn't just about one player. It's about the whole team and building this roster up. And Roquan needs to realize that too. So, like, if you just run through everything I just said, that was a pretty well-prepared and delivered tactical approach, I feel like.
And it took less than 5 minutes.
Even with the questions, it was like 3:40.
Yes, less than 5 minutes. He even answered a question coming off the stage, podium, lectern, what have you. Do you think Roquan Smith deserves to be the highest paid off-ball linebacker in the NFL, surpassing Darius Leonard?
No, I don't, because I don't think he's better than Darius Leonard.
Do you think he's ahead of Fred Warner?
And by the way, whether or not he's better than Darius Leonard, like, sometimes you just have to go with what the stats say too. Like, that's what factors into these contracts. And Darius Leonard's been the one who's been the first team All-Pro. And Roquan's been number two. As much as I've sat here and said that Roquan's been snubbed, and everyone here listening to this knows how much I feel how I think he's such a good player, I don't think he deserves the top linebacker contract. But right there in that ballpark, yes, to get on your second question, because I think Fred Warner, that's one of the guys who I'm not sure has deserved to be ahead of him some of these times with the snubbing that's happened with Roquan Smith. But yeah, I mean, you could like split the difference there, and I think that's a fair range for him.
But does he think it's fair? Is that the range he wants to be in? I guess this is where the two sides have to come to the table and figure it out. But yeah, he's the one at the table. Like, are you telling him that Darius Leonard is better than you? Well, like, say you're Cliff Stein, because Cliff Stein's probably the one leading these negotiations, right? He's back in charge of that.
Yeah.
And Cliff Stein goes, these are the numbers, Roquan. He's not talking to an agent. He's talking to Roquan. And we don't know what you're going to be in Matt Eberflus's defense. This is what we have right now. These are what our projections could be. Right now, we think you're behind Darius Leonard. How do you think that sits with Roquan Smith?
Look, I think Roquan's argument when it comes to Darius Leonard is, well, now I'm playing in Darius Leonard's defense. And if I had been playing in this defense at this position that you're now putting me in for all these years, I would have the numbers that he has.
So he's projecting those for himself.
Which I think is a fair stance to have. I don't think it's realistic to then expect the Bears all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You're just better than him. You know, and I also would respect the Bears from the other side pointing at Fred Warner's contract, pointing at Fred Warner being ahead of him in some of these accolades, and being like, you know, regardless, this isn't where how you stack up. So at least as a starting point, I can see why there is that gap. But I also don't think this is that complicated. Splitting that difference seems to be a relatively reasonable compromise to me.
No, I would agree. But I'm not at the table. I'm at this table, my table. Not at that table at Hallis Hall.
Yeah. Do you think he's playing for the Bears week one?
today, yes. Ask me in a couple weeks from now, I may change my tune a bit. Because I think both sides, like after a trade request like this, after statements like Roquan Smith issued, there may be more conversations tomorrow at Halas Hall, but both sides probably will dig in a little bit. Would they not?
Maybe. But you mentioned how Poles answered a question walking off the stage. That question turned out, because the press conference actually cut off if you were just watching it or listening to it. That question was about how Roquan was out there and what Ryan Poles thought that meant. And his response was, I think he wants to be a Chicago Bear.
I think he does too.
I think he does too.
Can we... The Bears have more leverage in this than Roquan Smith. Like, he's under contract this year already. He is. At what, 9.2 million, 9.7 million? Whatever the fifth year option is. He's under contract. And you know what? They still have the franchise tag at their disposal after this season. You and I have talked about this before in the podcast, where I think some of the trepidation on the Bears' part was wanting to see what Roquan Smith could actually do in this defense. Sure, they want to sign him, but they want to see it too. Can't see it without him in practicing. I know where you're going to go with this. I think I know where you're going with this with your comment, but they have more tools at their disposal than Roquan Smith. He's under contract. Well, the Bears have the leverage in this.
Yo, I agree with you, and I think to that point, like, I'm trying to picture this going all the way to like the first week of September. I don't know what card Roquan has to play.
This is his card. This is his move.
That's why it comes off as a little desperate, especially when you show up to practice 2 hours later.
Yes, this is the all-in move on the day of Family Fest. Like, you try to ruin Family Fest a little bit, even though you know you're going to show up. You include the owner in your statement. He spelled Wilbur Marshall's first name by the wrong, by the way, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
But anyway, who cares?
Wilbur Marshall might. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is his all-in move. But this is it.
Yeah, and that's my, like, so if they just say, we're not going to trade you, sorry, man. So you can either play on the, what, like you said, he's under contract. This isn't a franchise tag situation, like sign the tag, not sign the tag. Like, you play, you're under contract, you either play or you don't, and you forfeit the money, or you can take the deal we're offering you. I mean, that puts him in a situation where he's either got to play or not play. And I tend to think it's not even going to get to that point. I still think there might be some common ground here. And it's August 9th.
There's
over a month. I would have taken this more seriously, I think, if this statement from Roquan Smith had come out like right around Labor Day. Because then it's like oh shit, like they might not really have him and they got to figure this out. So I almost feel like he played that card too early.
What? Okay. This card? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe negotiations on Monday didn't go well, or Sunday, whenever the last time they talked.
So, all right. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Anything else?
No, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I do think the lack of an agent is playing a factor here. I think there's only two comparisons you need, two comps, it's Darius Leonard and Fred Warner. That's contract and production. That's it. See where this goes.
Yeah, I think the only reason this doesn't get done is if we find out the Bears are like way lower and that Ryan Poles just like really doesn't believe in paying this specific position.
But like, he's not going to use the words record setting.
Right. I agree.
If that's the case.
Right.
He's not going to go out there and say, like, we believe in signing our homegrown players if he doesn't believe in signing his homegrown players, you know?
And by the way, if they're not trying to take advantage of him not having an agent, then they're not doing their jobs correctly. Like, this is business. That's how this stuff happens. So if you're going to go into it not having an agent, you can't be surprised when the offer comes in and there might be a few things in there that are like, oh, wait a minute. Like, they're trying to take advantage of me not having an agent here. Well, duh. And if you figure it out and you call them out on it, fine. You'll probably find some common ground. But I don't think that part should be a surprise.
Before we go, you have any thoughts on the first unofficial depth chart for the Chicago Bears?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. I honestly haven't even looked at it yet. It was very nice of the Bears, though, too. I'm sure they weren't trying to bury that at 8:48 in the evening. I'm sure that they were actually just sending it out 10 minutes before they knew we were going live on the show.
They did it for us.
Yeah, of course. Man, well, I got to tell you, I really do not care about it.
Can I just go through the offensive line?
Yes.
Thank you for putting Braxton Jones at left tackle and not making us...
like a weird thing?
Yes, because teams do that every now and then. So you got Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, the backup center being Sam Mustipher, right guard Michael Schofield. I'm not even messing around with that. Right tackle, Riley Reiff. Number one backup at right tackle is Tevin Jenkins. It's late. Left tackle backup, Larry Borum. Rookie Tyler Gordon also listed as a defensive starter on defense. Oh, Jaquan Brisker as well.
Yeah, so this is basically what we saw in practice.
Yes.
Today, I mean, like, they're not really playing any games. I guess with the exception that Larry Borum's had like 95% of his snaps at right tackle. But Tevin Jenkins is also back, and that is what it looked like today on the second team when they were both out there.
It was interesting to see Al-Quadin Muhammad listed as a backup. Starters being Robert Quinn and Travis Gibson.
Huh.
Number one kick returner, Khalil Herbert. Number one punt returner, Daz Newsome.
So the only reason that doesn't surprise me is because when you watch it, Quinn and Al-Quadin Muhammad usually do rush from the right side.
It's true.
They're kind of both on that same side. So it makes sense that Gibson's listed as the left end. So... yeah, I don't know. I don't really see anything wide receiver-wise. Let's look at that. Bayless Jones, Byron Pringle. Nope, that'd be it. with all those guys hurt, with Pringle hurt, Bayless Jones hurt, Dante Pettis hurt, N'Keal Harry hurt. Those are all the guys listed as second and third stringers. Like, it's been Tajay Sharp, Isaiah Coulter out there the last couple days.
In terms of like roster battles.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to know who the top six receivers are right now for the Bears, it's Mooney, St. Brown, Pringle, Bayless Jones Jr., Dante Pettis, and N'Keal Harry. Those are the top six receivers.
Did you mention Thomas Graham Jr.?
I did not.
He's listed like all the way towards the end of the corners. That's kind of interesting.
That's not good.
Is that just because he's hurt? Probably. But other players are hurt and they're still listed.
Roquan Smith is listed as a starter.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. This is another like sort of minor refreshing thing, Johns. This is actually, there's no games being played on this depth chart.
Which is refreshing.
Yeah.
All right. One final question for you. Say the Bears, like, enough is enough. Okay, we will trade you. What's his market like? What do you think the Bears could get for Roquan Smith?
So this is an interesting thing because I don't... best case scenario is like a late first round pick. Probably more realistic, a second round pick. Type thing. And I find that very interesting because this guy was the eighth overall pick. He's been a success. And yet you can't sign him. You're struggling to sign him for a second contract, so you have to trade him and you can't even get. You know what I'm saying? Like, it speaks to the position. Like, almost like you shouldn't be drafting this position that high.
Some scouts will tell you finding three-down linebackers is extremely difficult, though.
And I'm kind of in that step point, too. I think, just look at the fact that, like, if we're going to talk about a wide receiver contract, there's been, like, 12 wide receivers who've been paid ridiculous money this year. When it comes to comps for Roquan's contract, you said it earlier. It's Fred Warner and Darius Leonard.
That's it.
That's it. There's not that many of these guys out there, and I do think that should matter. But I almost feel like the Bears get more value out of paying him and keeping him than trying to trade him. Especially because he's not that old. He signs a four-year deal. He's still, you're still safe by the time he gets to 30.
So the Rams traded what? Two first-round picks? A fourth-round pick? What else? Is that it? The Jalen Ramsey move? There's two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick.
Yeah. Khalil Mack, multiple first-rounders.
First-round picks.
Yeah.
But now you're talking about positional value, premier positions, right? Pass rusher, cornerback. Like, in most cases, they're valued higher by nearly every organization than inside linebacker, are they not? So maybe you could get a late round first? Maybe? Two twos? Two twos? Would you do two twos for Roquan Smith?
I mean, I would. It depends on the team, though. I mean,
two twos and a sixth.
That's part of the problem. Like every
high twos, high twos.
Every team can use a wide receiver. Roquan Smith kind of has to. It has to be the right team that wants this specific type of linebacker in their defense. So, you know, like Dallas, maybe something like that. I feel like he can have success in Tampa. Yeah. I don't know. I think he has value, but I don't know that necessarily.
Yes.
But I don't, you're not getting a top 10 pick for him though, probably. Which is what he was when you drafted him. That's what I find fascinating about this. I don't know. I guess you got to look at it this way. Like, if you're the Bears, would you rather have Roquan Smith next year? Or would you rather have what's probably going to be like at least a top 15 first round pick, and then multiple second round picks.
Over the next 2 years.
Smith is to me, you know what he is, and he's a fit for this defense. He's a known commodity. He's not a draft pick that you don't know how he's going to pan out. I find it very hard to believe that the Bears are going to be looking at that contract, you know, 4 years down the road and be like, ah, yeah, we shouldn't have done that.
It would take the right team to trade for him. Yeah. The Rams just operate differently in terms of valuing. He's tired. I'm tired. First round picks. Bengals, maybe. Late first. Not sure their scheme, but. Seahawks. Sean Desai is out there.
Yeah. I don't think the Rams have any room left to pay him, but. Chargers, maybe Brandon Staley wants him.
There you go.
I don't know. I think like you said, maybe we feel different in a couple weeks. I think Roquan Smith, I still feel like he's on the field week one. Again, if he's on the field 2 hours after demanding a trade, I feel like he's on the field for the first freaking game.
Doing sit-ups and calisthenics.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was fun. Glad we knocked this out. Appreciate everybody tuning in, watching live. And of course, listening to it as a podcast. If you didn't even know we were live, this should be probably listening to this on a Wednesday morning. Back at House Hall tomorrow,
10 a.m.
Hopefully, it's a little bit of a lighter day.
Probably see Roquan Smith come out around 11, taking some team drills. But if he's not, he's there.
Yeah, he's probably gonna be. If he was there today, he's gonna be there tomorrow.
Yes.
Maybe there's a contract done by tomorrow morning.
No.
I'll check Ian Rappaport's
that would be surprising.
Twitter account at 7:44 a.m. That would be surprising. But so was releasing this statement today asking for a trade. We'll see where it goes. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Again, Johnsy's thoughts up on theathletic.com/HoganJohns. Bears Things newsletter. Dropping tomorrow morning. Still time to sign up. Go to allchgo.com. Hit the join button up there on the top. You can sign up for, I think it's like 50 cents for your first month. If you're on the fence, get the newsletter tomorrow morning, just like that. Thanks to our producer, Kent. I think are we dropping that special episode later this week? Is that the plan?
Yeah.
Little teaser. Little teaser. John's been doing some work behind the scenes that if you listened a few episodes ago, we were going to do some homework on how Justin Fields compares to some of the other young quarterbacks in the league in their development during training camp. So special episode coming your way Thursday, and then there's a preseason game Saturday. Let's not forget about that.
The Chiefs. Matt Nagy's revenge.
Matt Nagy will be back at Soldier Field.
He will be present.
Holy crap, did that field look like crap today.
And I don't care if Elton John played there Friday night.
I was at the Chris Stapleton concert at Wrigley Field. The Cubs played there 2 days later, and it looked fine.
Yes.
Does it look like... I don't know if Elton John took a jackhammer to the 30-yard line. Like, what were they possibly doing at that concert?
Like, if you think that factored into them not having, like, the end zones ready and not even, like, a C in the middle of the field, then you're fooling yourself because the Bears have a long
the one end zone, the seats were missing.
I know.
For Family Fest, where they put all the fans down by the field.
Yes, yes. It's not surprised. This is probably the mayor's last effort. Like, all right, here's your Family Fest minus some stands.
Where did the first 15 rows go? I don't know. They're in Lori Lightfoot's backyard right now. She's throwing them in her garage.
See you at the opener. Maybe.
What a cluster Soldier Field is. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Talk to you Thursday.
See ya.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.